concern for Egypt. You know, we all have a part of our hearts in Egypt now, and have friends there.
A neighbor is safely back home from Egypt. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. That story and more coming up. The Haines Assembly on Tuesday night holds a public hearing for a new commercial tour permit request. The application is from longtime local tour company Chilcat Guides, which is interested in expanding their operation to include a marine sightseeing tour. The excursion would use a 40-foot-long rigid aluminum inflatable vessel to view waters and beaches of the Lynn Canal, Chilcat Inlet, Chilcoot Inlet, Taya Inlet, and Tysanka Harbor. It would be offered in addition to Chilcat Guides' current tours, raft float trips in Skagway, outside of Haines, and at Glacier Point. The public hearing is a prerequisite to be considered for a tour permit. The borough also holds the third hearing of the Heliski Ordinance that would clarify how the industry is managed in the borough. It follows another work group session meeting at 3:30 p.m. Tuesday in Assembly Chambers. Tuesday night's Haines Assembly meeting at 6:30 p.m. in Assembly Chambers will also include a borough presentation and discussion on potential uses for Nuktuk Point or Picture Point property if the borough decides to purchase it. Haines resident and Sheldon Museum director Jerry Clark is safely back home after being evacuated from Egypt. She was in the country for a return trip to work with archaeologists by helping catalog material on a dig when protests began in another part of the country. She talked with KHNS on Monday, the day after she arrived home.
I had a lot of emails asking me how I was doing and what was going on before I returned home. I just came home yesterday, so I haven't seen a lot of people yet.
When did you hear about what was going on, being so far away from it?
We were in touch with people. We have cell phones and a landline, and the Egyptians, our Egyptian house staff, has television. So we learned about it right away. And actually, my roommate in our house is an Egyptian woman who works at the Cairo Museum and lives in Cairo, Egyptian Museum, that is. And so we learned right away, but we were over 300 miles south of Cairo, so we weren't in the midst of it, and we're in some village areas, so it's pretty peaceful down there. And the people there know us, and the universities have been excavating there since the 1960s, actually. The directors are well-known, and some of us who go back a lot are known.
So when you were there, you felt pretty secure there then?
Yeah, in fact, the husband of one of the directors talked to a friend of his at the State Department, and he said, you know, if your wife's there, she's in a safe place, tell her to stay. But then the State Department said all U.S. citizens should leave, so we left.
How many foreign citizens were there where you were?
Well, there were two teams, one from my director's from New York University Institute of Fine Arts, and there was another team there from University of Michigan, and there were about 34 of us all together. We were mostly from the United States, but also some other countries.
Oh, wow, yeah, so a lot of people. But alternately, you said that your roommate was an Egyptian woman, and, you know, a lot of Egyptians were there. Did you see more worry from them that they had friends and family in Cairo that were involved in it?
Yeah, the Egyptians who lived around there were concerned about what was going on in their country. And the woman from Cairo was upset at first, but then she was able to get a hold of people. And she was actually kind of fired up. Was when we were sent home, she was happy to go back to Cairo and participate.
How old is she? Is she? I know they kept pinpointing, you know, a certain age group as being part of the protests.
I didn't ask her, but I'm assuming she was in her mid-20s.
Interesting. And what was her sentiment? Did she communicate with you at all?
Well, she said the people are just fed up with Mubarak and they want freedom.
And then how did it unfold? When did it turn from, like, stay there, you're safe, into let's get you out of here?
After the State Department issued their edict that people, U.S. citizens, should leave, the universities decided that it would be a good idea to pull us out.
You know, the word evacuated sounds so dramatic and rushed and you know, hectic. How was the process?
Well, it was rushed and hectic to meet a timeline, but we weren't running away from anything, really. We had just started excavations, so we had to close up the excavations. They're filled in when we leave to protect them from the weather and from vandals. And then the things I had out working on, we had to, there's a big new storage building that was just partly completed last year, and so my job was to get things organized, and I'd been pulling things out and trying to organize boxes of artifacts and bones, and so we just had to put them away in storage, and the antiquities department comes and seals them up to protect them when we're not there, so we had to meet their deadline as well.
Okay. And then getting out, you went through Athens, is that right?
Right. We went to Luxor, which is 90 miles south of where we were working. The universities chartered a plane, and we met it in Luxor and flew to Athens. And we were just in Athens for a few hours in the middle of the night. And then most of us went on to Heathrow, most of them to New York. I was sent through Seattle and then on to Juneau.
Okay. And while you were there, was information easy to come by? Did they, you know, give you updates? Or did it feel like you were quite distant from it?
People now are carrying foreign cell phones so that they can communicate, talk to their family and friends back home. So there was a lot of communication. The internet was cut off for a week, so we didn't have that. And cell phone to cell phone in Egypt was cut off, but for some reason we could still call landlines, or landlines could call us. So our directors were in touch with one of our organizations. The American Research Center in Egypt has an office in Cairo, actually right near Tahrir Square. So the directors were talking to people there, getting updates and finding out what was going on, and people were calling home, getting the news. My roommate would call her family and friends and share the news that they had.
So it seems like even with the government's attempts at squashing communication, it still prevailed.
Right. Right.
Did you guys ever, you know, in between messages, ever feel scared at all?
Not physically, no. We were concerned for Egypt. You know, we all have a part of our hearts in Egypt now, and have friends there. So we were concerned and about people in Cairo and about the museum, of course. But we never felt in danger at all. People there know us, and to be honest, these excavations are pretty much the economic base of the area. People were very sad we left, partly because we were leaving early and not being there with them, but I think a lot of the concern was that their jobs ended. And they depend on them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that brings me to the work that you guys were doing there. Certainly this doesn't mean an end to it. Has there been any talk about when you might be able to go back and pick it back up?
Well, there's too much paperwork and logistical stuff that has to be done. And if we went back in a month from now, it would take the excavations into the very hot season. So there was no consideration at all of going back this year. But of course, they'll look at next year. We all hope to go back next year.
And how long were you supposed to be there? So how much was it cut off?
I was supposed to be there 6 weeks. The excavation actually was going on for about 2.5 months. So I was coming back towards the end of February, but the others would be coming back in early April.
Okay. And did your roommate end up going to participate after you guys left?
We left her in Luxor, and she was waiting for a plane to Cairo. So I'm assuming she's there now with her brother and father.
Wow. Wow, that must change how you watch the news.
It does. It's more personal because I know people there, and I know Egypt somewhat. Yeah, I'm glad that it was hard leaving, but I'm glad that we're not there right now.
That was Haines resident Jerry Clark, recently returned home after being evacuated from Egypt. Trouble there started in late January when thousands of people poured into the streets to protest poverty, rampant unemployment, government corruption, and their president's governance, which has lasted for 30 years. The North Africa country hasn't seen protests on such a large scale since the 1970s. A former Haines man helped evacuate a group of U.S. citizens from Egypt recently as protests continue to disturb the country. Tyson Verse is a former Haines tourism director and went on to work for a tour company based in Seattle. Verse was leading about 35 Puget Sound residents, mostly seniors, through Egypt when the trouble broke out. While riding in a train near the Nile River, they came in contact with tear gas sprayed by police that was presumably aimed at protesters. They were immediately surrounded by guards when they reached Cairo. The sound of machine gun fire prompted them to move to the airport. The group lost contact with the U.S. about the time they made it to the airport, which was considered fortified and not a target of protests. However, all flights out of Egypt were canceled, and the group slept on airport floors until they could be evacuated by plane to safe havens in Europe. The tour company's owner says Verse is adequately experienced. He's a knowledgeable tour guide, has been to Egypt before, and was stuck in Australia for 9/11. For KHNS, I'm Tara Bicknell.